Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, folks. Welcome to Personal Transformation. Welcome my guest, Ivan Love, as well. Normally, we would do this, we'd be doing it in the evening, but on a Thursday, and actually, my schedule's been all over the place, so I'm really being too regular. If you haven't noticed that already, go watch me on a regular basis. And, well, welcome back. I'm live, too, by Periscope, YouTube, and Facebook now as well. Not just on Blog Talk now, which is kind of nice that I'm kind of getting a wider audience. And you can kind of see who I am as well, not just hearing your voice. So those who are listening, and you should see my posting if you just want an audio. Well, obviously, you can just video off here if you want as well. If you want to hear audio, or my broadcast will be on Blog Talk Radio or Personal Transformation, Blog Talk Personal Transformation, and you'll find it there as well. So the links are all on there. Today, we're going to be talking about loss and grief. And, when you talk about loss and grief, there's an awful lot of that seems to be going on these days. I'm not also just talking about it from a perspective of being a survivor of childhood sexual abuse and those experiences, but I'm going to talk about loss and grief. We're going to talk also a little bit about our conference is coming up. Actually, Nicola's going to do a little plug on that as well. But we're going to talk about loss and grief, and I'll offer some of my own experiences, how it's to me. Maybe Nicola will do the same if she wishes. okay. And, anyway, we'll just go with the flow and see it goes from there. So first off, I'm not here to tell you what to do. I don't come across as or claim to be a doctor, a therapist, anything of the sorts. I'm only here, just offer my own experiences, in my healing journey, which I've been working on now for pretty much 10 years now. And I've come a long way from the track that I was 6 years ago. So I'm only too happy to share my experiences from my track to, I was built train. I won't say it's completely, but I'm working on it. Sometimes these freight trains are really long. And, you know, just take a look, whether it be live or audio, whatever means of or whatever platform you might be listening or watching. So, folks, you're quite welcome to comment if you're listening. The chat room is open. More than happy if you want to say something, just say hi. It's totally up to you. Or if you have a comment, don't be shy. But we are talking about loss and grief. But I think we're going to get this out of the way first. And I'd like to plug about the time of conference, what you're doing. You're going to be opening here with a bit of a gentle meditation and yoga. And to get everybody kind of in the groove.
I actually volunteered to open this year, didn't I? That was my own fault. I actually volunteered to. Okay, so with mindfulness is what we is one of the tools that we use to come back to the present moment. So we encourage mindfulness, yoga, whatever mindfulness is to you, and that can be martial arts, it can be yoga, it can be any kind of physical fitness. However, basically, it comes back to breath. So when we say, are you breathing in a yoga practice, we don't mean everyone's breathing, right? We mean conscious breathing. So because a lot of the time when we get into that fight, flight, freeze mode, we actually stop breathing or we are very shallow breathing. Or we can clamp onto our jaw, clamp down on that tongue and everything tense up. So the breathing tenses. So essentially when we encourage mindfulness to do at the gatehouse. Yoga is one of those things that we encourage, as well as other things that may or may not speak to you. So it's whatever speaks to every individual person. So sometimes at the start of a group, you may feel tension in that circle, and you might do some cleansing breaths. We don't necessarily have to put everyone into a yoga practice or a weird yoga pose, but not that it's weird, but you know what I'm saying. So essentially, when we do the trauma conference here, it's on the 23rd of November through to the 23rd of November through to the 27th of November. I'm not going to say December this time because I did say that a time before. I think it's because the months follow, right? And the brain kind of wants to follow, but I'm correcting myself. So I'm thinking, well. Anyway. I will be opening this year the yoga flow. So it's probably going to be only like a 20, 30-minute practice. After Arthur Lockhart, who is the founder of Great Gatehouse, who opened the gatehouse in 1998, bless his soul. He is an absolutely wonderful individual. Honored to have met and spoke with Arthur on a few occasions now. And you know what? Thank you so much, Arthur, if you're listening to this. What a great place you have established and grown throughout the years. So I've been going for how many years?
20 years. Yeah.
My son's actually 22 in January, so I kind of remember this stuff. Okay, so yes. So coming back to it. So I also wanted to just pick it as well, as you probably know already, if you have listened to me a few occasions, I do also do a trauma-informed yoga workshop, which I do privately with my own yoga teaching practice. So if anyone is interested in that, please send me your email. My email is nicolayoga@outlook.com. So that's Nicola spelled with an A. So that's N-I-C-O-L-A. I'm not French, I'm English. So nicolayoga@outlook.com. So if you're interested in that, I do this via a sliding scale. So it is chargeable because it is a ton of work. This is an online program. So I do in-person classes for this particular workshop. However, I understand that everybody isn't in my local area. So I am offering this online, especially with the current events. I do feel it's important to offer this online because of what everyone is going through right now. And especially with the current times, knowing survivors can maybe get into that difficult space again, because essentially that control issue is coming up to surface again. And we've lost our knowledge. So again, if anyone's interested, let me know. I have another conference I'll be doing the beginning and the end. So I'll be doing morning at 11:30 on Monday morning in November, and I'll be at the end, which I think will be cool. Check out the times on www.thegatehouse.org, and if you wish to join me, please go right ahead. It's all free. So just so you know, so that will be on Monday and Friday. So again, it's a trauma-informed yoga practice, and it's not just for people that have experienced trauma through child abuse. It can be any kind of trauma. So if you're not a survivor, if you might be a partner of a survivor, or it just relates to you, you know someone that this has happened to, because we can also take on vicarious trauma, which means basically that the person that you're sharing your story with can take on your trauma, and that can cause a trauma within them. So I just wanted you to be aware of that. So when someone within your family, your friends, whatever, can't cope with your story, that's what you call kind of vicarious trauma. And without explaining it in too much detail, please look that up maybe on the internet to go deeper into that, because we're not really talking about that today. We're talking about grief. So anyway, bringing it back to the subject, so I'm circling myself back.
Well, thank you for explaining that, and we'll probably plug this one more time before we're out and done. This won't be a long show, folks. We just want to get on, and I want to touch base, and with this whole new platform that I'm on, I'm actually trying to get used to it still. All these different things I'm doing now versus just one thing before. Now I'm doing multiple things. It's not really all that difficult. Well, it would be for someone who doesn't really understand it, but now I'm getting to understand it and see how things work, and if I don't do one thing won't work. If I don't do the other thing won't work. So do a little bit of detail, a little bit of attention to detail here. So thank you for joining us.
Actually, it's not live.
Oh, my gosh. We're not live.
Sorry, we made a mistake. We're not live. We're live on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
We're actually not live on YouTube, but we are now.
Okay, so
on the other.
We'll do a reintroduction. We'll do a reintroduction.
Oh, dear. We forgot to hit the button.
So,
one of the most basic things is not hitting the button, right?
So anyway, folks, welcome to Personal Transformation. We are live. I've already been live on Blog Talk already, but I'll get to that in a moment. But anyway, folks, we're here now on YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, and what am I forgetting? Oh, well, Facebook, YouTube.
The other ones.
Yeah, the other ones. We're there. Anyway, good evening, folks, and welcome to Personal Transformation. I have Nicola beside my side, and first off, we're going to be talking about grief and loss. And we're also going to be talking about our upcoming conference, which is I'm talking about from the Gatehouse. This will be your 10th annual conference and Transforming Trauma And we have quite an extensive guest list, lineup of people that are going to be speaking. And obviously this year we're going to be virtual. So anybody wanting to connect, you're going to need to go on to our website, which is thegatehouse.org, and which we're going to be saying lots throughout this broadcast anyway, at least a few times anyway, so make sure you have it. And it's on all of our feeds anyway, so you'll see it there anyway, nevertheless. So, folks,
so can I say the date? Sorry to interrupt.
Yes, say the date.
So, Monday, is this upcoming Monday, so the 23rd of November, right through till Friday, which is the 27th of November. The opening will be with Arthur Locher, who is the founder of the Gatehouse. He opened the Gatehouse in 1998. So again, thank you, Arthur. I know we've just said this already on Blog Talk Radio, but we forgot to hit the live button on this particular link. So just wanted to share that with you again. So Arthur will be doing his introduction, as well as the administration team, which is Maria Bocellos, the executive director of the Gatehouse, and Paula Cordero, who also is the Phase 2 Coordinator Partners Program, amongst many of her duties. Great spirited lady. So we just wanted to honour them. So great people to work with. We've done groups with them a few different times now, especially the Partners Program, which was one of my first volunteer roles at the Gatehouse. So we are opening that in the morning. There's several different events that you can register for. It's all free. So if you go to www.thegatehouse.org, you will see the links there that you can register for the different events. And one of those events is me. I'm starting out doing a yoga flow, which I volunteered for at the beginning of the week and also at the end. So we practice mindfulness at the Gatehouse. We encourage yoga, martial arts, whatever that mindfulness is for you. That might be a hike in the park, or it might be a hike in the woods, whatever. Whatever speaks to you to bring you back to the present moment, whatever that is for you. And that can be something as simple as breath. And that doesn't mean breath as in you're holding your breath, you're clamping your jaw. That's not what we call proper breathing. So it's deep breath. And when we do that, it can bring us back to the present moment when we're in that place of anxiety, we're in a place of fear, anger, whatever those emotions that you may be coming through, which life gets us into sometimes. If we use that breath to support ourselves, a lot of time that's all we need to do to bring us back to the present moment. So just one of the tools we can use. That might be meditation for you. It could be a number of things. So I'm doing a trauma-informed yoga practice, which, again, doesn't have to be, you don't have to be a trauma survivor of child abuse in order to partake in the flow. You could be a partner of a trauma survivor. You could have gone through trauma through relationships. You could have gone through trauma from grief and loss, from a loss of a partner. In life or in death. So there's so many different things. A car accident can cause trauma, for instance. There's so many things that can cause trauma. So plugging again my trauma-informed yoga workshop, which I'm also doing online, which is a chargeable service that I'm providing via YouTube, which is it's not a live event. It will be something that will be only, the links will only be sent to you if you register for the program. So if you want to do that, please send me an email at Nicola, that's N-I-C-O-L-A, yoga@outlook.com. So if you're interested in that, please let me know. I do it via sliding scales for people that aren't able to afford the regular amount. So please let me know if you're interested in that. Would love to hear from you and guide you through whatever you need and provide some tools to help you deal with everyday life. So other than that, I will also be doing the ending flow for the trauma conference, which again will be on the 27th on the Friday in the afternoon. And I believe it's around about 3 p.m., but the time may have changed. So again, if you go to www.thegatehouse.org, it will show you the correct allotted time. So other than that, we have some therapists that are going to be on there. We have Lacey from the Full Circle Art Therapy, lovely lady. She is an art therapist, So she works in a volunteer role as well at the Gatehouse. So there are several different things, phase one, phase two programs that we're offering for the art as well right now, which Lacey does. And that's also online too. So she will also be talking at the Gatehouse and she'll be doing some art therapy online. Off the top of my head, I can't think who else is there, but the whole list is on the GAMS.org site. So
that would be the best way. Yeah. I would recommend you go there because we do have a full list of people that are going to be there for the whole week. And also, too, and I believe this will be your first time, we have, again, I should have the information in front of me, but we will have a day where one of our presenters will be, it will be in French and in English, in both language, both official languages in Canada, which is awesome. Like I said, I don't have it here in front of me.
Okay.
So a lot of good that does, a lot of good that does telling you right here now, but I would recommend going to our Gatehouse website. As I posted, Nicola's going to bring it up and I'm going to be able to say it anyway, very, very shortly. So folks, today we're talking about loss and grief, we are in very tough times right now. If you happen to be, I usually talk childhood sexual abuse because this is my experience. I'm not here to tell you what you should do because I'm not here at a, well, I'm not here at a level of as a therapist. So I'm not here to tell you what you do. I'm not a doctor or anything like that. So I'm only here offering my experiences for those that are watching me on video now, as well as me broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio as well. So I just want you to be aware, folks, I'm not here to tell you what you should do or you shouldn't do. My own experiences, my own healing experiences, this is what we're talking about. And how you approach your own issue with loss and grief is your responsibility. So what I'm offering you today is what I'm going through, and we may offer some suggestions, but never telling you what to do. So please keep that in the back of your mind as well as we're talking about loss and grief. Of course, Nicola's bringing this up. That's what I love about having all these multiple screens. Nicola's going to bring up the information what we were dumbfounded about there a minute ago about what we're talking about. So nevertheless, we'll have it here for you in a second.
Can I just plug one more thing?
Yeah.
Sorry, because the Gatehouse is run by mainly volunteers. So we also need help with funding to keep the house going and to keep running these online events, which we are actually, you know, because we are still facilitating the 15-week phase one program. We're also facilitating the 16-week phase two program.
Yeah, all programs are virtual.
Well, programs, et cetera, et cetera. So all our
virtual
programs have changed to virtual. So I just wanted to say on the homepage of thegatehouse.org, if you can donate, please donate to help us to keep going, because it does cost a substantial amount of money to keep these, keep everything active. And the house is, even though it's not completely sat empty because we have a charity working in there right now. However, you know, we still have to keep the electricity on, we have to keep the heating on, et cetera, et cetera. So if you could donate, we would really appreciate that. I can't find the link.
No, here. Move.
Here. There it is. So if you go to the homepage, you can click at the very top. It says click here to register. And then you'll go to the different parts. Oh, the event schedule. So Monday, November 23rd at 10 a.m., the Gatehouse Response to Restorative Justice and Trauma. It's a one-hour event. The presentation is by Maria Barcelos, Paula Cordero, Stephanie Alves, I think I pronounced that correctly,
yeah.
Arthur Lockhart, the founder, and the Gatehouse, Stefan
Hordecki.
Yeah. I can never spell it. I can never pronounce it correctly. So I apologize, Stefan, if I don't pronounce your name correctly, because I'm not very good at that. Okay, so that's the introduction. So that's an hour. So that takes us through to 11. And then at 11:30, we have moi, trauma-informed yoga for 30 minutes. So again, you need to register for this live event. 1 o'clock, strategies to cope with trauma symptoms. With the panel session is with Sherry Jackson, Deb Mabry, Catherine Yun, and Andrea Robin Skinner, who is also a yoga teacher as well. Lovely lady. She also does horse therapy yoga as well, which I have been a participant in, and it's absolutely wonderful. 4 o'clock, art therapy, process and practical application with Lacey Ford. Again, from Full Circle Art Therapy, we've already mentioned that. And then Tuesday, November 24th, we have at 3 o'clock, Releasing Shame and Blame, Eating Disorder Management. And that's Sheena's Place, like Sheena Easton, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
presented by Caitlin Axelrod, Program and Outreach Coordinator at Sheena's Place. Then at 7 o'clock, we have a Childhood Sexual Abuse Survivors Panel. There are 6 survivors of CSA, or Childhood Sexual Abuse Trauma, will share some of their stories and address some common questions other survivors and the public have about this type of trauma. So if you're interested in that, then please register. Again, Wednesday, November 25th, we have at 11 a.m. Suicide Prevention and Support. So Alex Schendelman is the program manager, Traumatic Loss Survivor Program, and Ian Kelly, the program facilitator. This is for the Distress Centres of Greater Toronto, along with Brad Hutchinson, who is an assist trainer, which you also an assist trainer. They will discuss how we can all be part of prevention, how to compassionately support someone who has been impacted by suicide ideations. 1 o'clock.
Awesome program. I would recommend you get in on that if you want some more tools. Yeah. Definitely get in at your conference if you can.
It is an amazing program. I've been honored to just help with people that might get triggered in that program. So as a not a facilitator as in facilitating the program, but a facilitator as in just being there
support.
For support if people get triggered or need to take 5-10 minutes and just speak to someone if they outside that space. And also I've done it as a participant, and it is a great program, 2-day program, which is fantastic. So going on from that, at 1 o'clock, we have another online event for Born Child Survivors of Sexual Trauma. This is a 1-hour event. Again, you need to register. Lindsay Lobb works for the Canadian Centre for Child Protection. We'll discuss what we have learned and where we are going in the protection of children. So there's that one. And then at 3 o'clock, supporting victims of human trafficking. Now, again, this is quite rampant throughout the world.
Nasty.
Whether you do or don't know about it, believe me, it's huge.
It's out of control.
Yes. So the lady that is holding that is Cynthia Bland, who is the founder and chief executive officer of Voice Found. She will discuss the needs, resources, and support for victims of human trafficking, including the programs available at Voice Found in Ottawa, Ontario.
And my hometown.
And then Thursday, November the 26th, at 11 a.m., we have Somatic Experiencing. So to explain that in layman's terms, what that means is when the body has experienced that trauma and it's coming back, it's actually bringing the body back into feeling. Because through childhood trauma or any kind of trauma in childhood, we may have lost that feeling within our body. So this is actually bringing the body back to actually feeling mode or encouraging that space. So that's with Deep Barra, Somatic Experiencing Practitioner in Training. So this lady is going through a current program in training, development of her practice. So at 1 o'clock, we have Managing Anxiety and Stress, which I'm sure many people can relate to that one. That's, again, I have pronounced that correctly, EMDR therapist. So that's eye movement desensitization. Can't remember what the R is, but it'll come to me. You get the gist. And then Friday, November the 27th, that's 11 a.m., we have Voice Found, Finding Strength for Victims to Heal. Again, that's a 45-minute session with Lucy Bruneau, Program Manager of Strength Found. Voice Found will discuss the organization and how you can get involved. Part of this session will be delivered in French.
In both official languages.
And then at 1 o'clock, we have a meditation session, again, 45 minutes. you can say that. What is it? How does that say? What does that say?
Bobwigin.
I can never say it properly.
Facilitated by Brad.
So that, yes. Providing insights on the practice of meditation and lead you in a session. Again, that's 30 minutes. And then to close off the day at 2 o'clock, me again, sorry, boring you now. Yoga session for 25 minutes roughly, and I will lead you through a trauma-informed yoga session. So if you would like any further information, again, if you want to email me, you can email me through nicola@thegatehouse.org, or my business email is nicolayoga@outlook.com. Anyway, so that's our breakdown of the trauma conference. Again, 23rd of November through to the 27th of November. So those are the times and dates responsible. So again, please register online. It's not
possible
before. To just turn up.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be better off to show up at least an hour before,
if
not register
so.
Before, yeah. So that you're not disappointed. So I would recommend registering as soon as possible. Mm. Over to you.
Yes. Okay. So thank you on that. And now we're going to talk a little bit of loss and grief. Folks, again, we are in very, very, well, uncertain times. For those who are living, well, where I live in the greater Toronto area, we are about to shut down again on Friday to total close down again like we were back in March and April.
They haven't confirmed that.
Pretty much they have today. It's pretty much set in gold. It'll be set tomorrow, but that's pretty much what's going to happen. So we're pretty much following what the rest of the world is doing in other parts, such as England. In France, for example, they're shot down again. So this is very, well, it doesn't sit well with a lot of people. I'm being very gentle in my words here.
Can I just do something
a
moment?
Oh, there, thank you.
Sorry.
I guess it could be worse. It could be my foul language and ranting and raving. But nonetheless, folks, we are at a time, unprecedented times, which we never could imagine we could be in. Those of us are... There could have been that are already dealing with stuff prior to this coming along, whether your experiences, I always talk about childhood sexual abuse, obviously, and my traumas, but the other traumas as well, which you could be going through. So I'm not just being specific about my experience, but all the different types of traumas that a person might go through. So your experiences, what you might feel and how you know, what you feel and how you deal with it are going to be all across the board. Everything from addictions to anger, to, oh gosh, I could just keep going and going, however you might react to it. You know, you might isolate. You know, well, right now we have no choice, we have to isolate. So how does that make you feel? I know being a survivor of childhood sexual abuse, isolation was probably one of my, well, I won't say it's a great habit, but sometimes I fall back to that, but I'll get to that back in a moment. But what about anger? And what about trust? What about those things? How do they sit with you? I mean, if you were already dealing with it already from your own, you know, traumatized experience from your past, and now you've got this on top of it, what are you doing to help yourself through this? What form of self-care are you doing? How do you cope? Just period. How do you cope in these days? You know, I've had a hard time. I know I can speak from my own experience that not only did I get sick back in March, which I explained in the last show we were talking about, but it affected me, my health-wise. And so obviously it's affected me mentally as well, because now I have an eating disorder. So it affects everybody differently. You know, I've talked to other people on social media, and I've seen everything from anger to isolation. Well, like I said, even for myself, not wanting to, but by choice, I thank heavens I'm able to go out once a week and socialize, because even that's going to stop now again. But nevertheless, that's kind of helped me bring me back into it again. So how am I going to feel after tomorrow when we're all going to get shut down again, hopefully only for a couple of weeks. But I can't presume to know that, because I don't know until they tell us. Just like anybody else, anywhere else in the world that could be listening or watching right now. It's all different everywhere, but pretty much we're being controlled. And I don't like being controlled in that manner. You know, I can throw all these things in and you know, it just probably makes it worse. You know?
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So when you feel like So because it's feeling, when you feel like you're being controlled, what does that do to you? And a mental capacity and a physical capacity. So A, where does it come up in your body? And B, how does it make you feel mentally?
Well, B, how, okay, first, mentally, it comes up as, you know, I'm a very independent person. At least I thought I was an independent person. And in a sense that I, you know, I get myself up in the morning, I go to work, I volunteer, I do a bunch of other things. And it was always in my control to a great degree. And now I don't have that kind of control. So that makes me feel kind of inadequate in some ways. It makes me feel I don't have a purpose. Well, that's what it's grown into mentally. Maybe you can relate to that out there. I'm not too sure. But if you're used to going, well.
And then second part of the question.
Okay, yes. So the second part of the question. Well, physically, I'm like a, well, I'm going to say I'm old school. I grew up on a farm. I'm used to work. It's in the blood. It's in the fingers. And now I can't work. We talk about a person that's, I've worked steady for the last 30 years, probably a little bit longer than that. Never, you know, having to stop work for anything. And now I'm being told I have to stop. So, you know, that mental thing about having a purpose is really, really, really difficult because now, well, that's obviously going to affect my income. It's going to affect, well, that affects you mentally as well. So it's kind of a jumble.
Does it come up in your body anywhere in particular physically?
Well, if I was to put it in that manner, which I haven't really noticed too much, would be in my body, meaning in my legs, because I'm used to you know, walking 12, 15 kilometers a day. And when I was doing sports, I was doing a lot more. So my legs feel like they're, well, I feel like Gumby, if anybody can relate to that or whoever knows.
What's a Gumby?
Well, I guess I should find a better example. But Gumby, anyway, is a cartoon character from way, way back.
Oh, so he's got bendy legs or something?
Yes, he's got bendy legs and he's...
Okay, so English format. He has bendy legs. He feels like he has bendy legs. Sorry.
Or Humpty Dumpty, who did stand on the wall. He fell off the wall, and he's all cracked now because he can't do anything. Head or legs or back or something like that. But
I quite like that one. Mm. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put them back together again then?
No, because you could not go to the store and buy crazy glue because they're all shut. And you have to wear a mask and do
anyway.
Curbside pickup. Well, depending on where you are, of course. And if you had bought the fresh eggs, we wouldn't have that problem whether I had a hard out or was it the local eggs. Right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But turn on eggs.
Oh, darn.
Sorry. Anyway.
So, yes. So, grief and loss is where you get it to. Even in the So how do you deal with all this stuff? How do you deal with it? Everyone has their own way, but to me, in my examples, I put them on a shelf, right? That's how I look at it, and I can't put it in my back pocket, even though I try, so I don't have to look at it, but it's always there. If I put it in my back pocket, it always kicks me in the ass. But nonetheless, I put it on a shelf.
How do you deal with it?
Well, best I can.
I know you like the yard. Is that how you ground yourself?
Well,
or
that's
the other tools that you use.
Right now, that's all I have to do that. And then my one night a week, that's my only way of.
So bowling.
Yeah.
Physically using your body.
Yeah, physically using my body. Like even today, I needed to go out and do what I did today. And now we're just going to snow.
Mm.
Well, hopefully it doesn't snow for a while. We already had a couple of snows already, but to the point where I can't do anything outside. I have a bunch of things I can do. I can keep busy, but obviously you can only do so much until the frost comes and the snow comes, and then you're basically, unless you're shoveling snow.
Well, I still go for a hike at minus 10 because I'm a little bit like that. If someone says I can't do something, I'll go the other way. So I'm like, okay, minus 10, let's wrap up. Well, am I going out on that hike, whether you like it or not? Because in actual fact, I find, because obviously I'm British, You can kind of hear it.
I never could tell.
No, you know what? You wouldn't believe the amount of people actually get it totally wrong. So I'm just confirming. Yes, it's British. So when someone says to me, I can't do something, I tend to go the other way. And at minus 10, I just basically might have a pair of yoga pants on and a pair of jeans. And I'll still go out. And as long as I'm wrapped up warm, because I don't like to be cold, I'm a little bit, I do tend to just wrap up warm, put the gloves on, anything else that's going to keep me warm, test the temperature outside first to make sure I'm not too chilly, and then I'll keep going on that trail. So make sure I got my hikers on, my proper grippy boots, and I'm gone.
So I kind of like what you're saying, because we're getting to the time of the year now where it's going to be harder to do things, especially if you're an outdoors person like myself. I mean, unless you can handle work going out in the snow and doing all those winter sports. Well, right now, the condition I'm in, I'm obviously not going to be doing what I used to. I'm not, certainly not going to be going skiing. I'm not going to be going, well, I'm not going to do the sports that I thought I could, that I used to be able to do, at least not yet anyway. When I build my strength back up again, obviously I will. But right now, I don't feel like much doing anything. And if I do it, I have limited capacity to how long I can go. Nothing like I used to go, that's for sure. If this is what, well, I won't say that word old feels like, but if that's anything like that, it's kind of like, ooh, icky. Anyway, so my goal now is what I'm going to have to do. Maybe you out there can relate to this as well. We're coming to that time of the year now where your time outside is going to be limited. So what are you going to do for self-care? Okay, but anyway, we'll talk a little bit more about that on. Let's talk a little bit more about loss and grief, about how it's affecting you. So,
well, I can only really say how it affected me because I can't really say for anybody else. But I know on the initial shutdown, because it kind of came out of the blue, we weren't really told about COVID being here in the fall. We weren't told really until March, right?
Right.
Or February, March, it started to come on.
Actually, started around Christmas.
Yeah. So, you know,
almost a year ago.
It came as a bit of a shock. And maybe I was in denial, I don't know, that it was going to happen. But when that initial shock came, it did honestly put me in a little bit of a trauma space. And I basically grounded myself by literally going into meditation for almost 2 days to be able to bring myself back to a good space. So I honored myself. I knew it was happening. And I basically shut myself away for a little while to sort myself out, because at the end of the day, only I've got the tools to sort myself out. No one else can do that for me. No one can fix me. I can fix myself. So I was aware of this. And I basically would get up from my meditation spot, look out the window, look at those willow trees, and that would ground me. And I kept telling myself, Nicola, the only way through this is to fight. And that's what I did until I got to the space where I'm like, okay, I'm starting to feel good about this now. And the one thing that pulled me through was essentially from having 8 yoga classes a week to like zero. And that yoga was taken away from me. So, I mean, that was my everything, my go-to, my everything. And even when I was practicing yoga, because I was still practicing it, I couldn't get myself back to that space of presence because I was in trauma mode. So fight, flight, freeze, whatever you want to call it, I was there. So the one thing, because, like, then people started to ask me from some of the centers that I was working at, yoga studios, etc., asked me to do some online things. And so I started to get uncomfortable in that yoga space online. I was up there because I'd already done the circles at the gatehouse. I'd done the drop-in, I'd done the partners group, I'd done phase one, phase two, etc., etc., etc. And I was pretty confident with myself, which I'll be honest with you, I never had the confidence prior. Not to the level where I was speaking at colleges and stuff like that. I mean, I was confident in like a business environment where I felt safe, or I was confident with my own business, et cetera, et cetera. But to be able to talk in a circle until I started to do these public speaking events and really work with other survivors, holding the space safely for them, did I really find my confidence? Like, I wouldn't have dreamed of even being on a Skype call, for instance, I would hate showing my face. So then going back to March, I then had to become comfortable being uncomfortable on the computer now doing yoga. So I started to do it with a couple of different studios. And then I thought to myself, Nicola, you've got this YouTube channel. Why don't you just, like, the only way you're actually going to get comfortable doing this is to keep doing it. So I thought, you know what, I've been keep telling myself to do this, you know, YouTube channel and use it. Because it had been, I set it up in the fall of last year. And then I thought, you know what, the only way you're going to be able to teach right now is online. So I thought, well, the only way I'm going to do this is to do it via YouTube to make it fair to all the studios that I was working for, because I was working for about 6-7 different places at the time. And I thought, that's the only way I'm going to be able to keep teaching. So that's how Nicola Yoga YouTube came into being. So really, that is what pulled me through. So I just kept going. I mean, some of those initial yoga videos are absolutely appalling as far as I'm concerned. You may not think so, but they were. I'll be totally honest, because I just knew I had to keep going, keep recording those YouTube videos until I felt comfortable online. And now, I'll be honest with you, I put myself in front of that camera, and I'm really comfortable as if I would be in an in-person class. And the way I did that is I had to visualize my participants on the other side of that camera. So by doing that, I feel like I'm talking to them. I'm not talking to just a camera or anyone throughout the world. I'm talking to my participants almost like on an individual basis, or because I have small classes in this home studio, right? So because of social distancing measures, etc. And that's how I basically pulled myself through from quite a dark space. And I might have only been there for a little while, but we sometimes go back there, right? And by being shut down and the loss of control, we couldn't do anything about it. It put me back there. And I just really, really knew there was that bit of light, and I just kept holding on to that piece of string with that bit of light and kept pulling myself up. So that's essentially how I did it. Might not work for everybody, but it worked for me, so... So now I've got the attitude, well, they can keep trying to push me down, but I'm going to keep going up. So one of my mottos is, as you probably know me by now, is never give up. So that's what I tend to live by, or live today. So that was one of my dad's things, live for today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So
that was a bit of a
loss and grief comes up in many precarious ways, but nevertheless, we have it. We carry it to whatever degree we are, and now the times, as they are, as I pointed out, and you have what you're dealing with already. For myself, this is presented to be a really, really, really hard thing to do, to deal with in ways that I never thought possible or even dreamed of, new ways of coping as I've had to discover. And it's necessary now, in order to keep going, that I continuously find ways to take care of myself in that capacity, self-care capacity means I'm talking about. So we're coming to winter now, so it's going to be a little bit more of a challenge for me to find things to do. I do have some things to do throughout the winter. Obviously, most of it will be inside, and unless I'm able to go back to work, and I'll be back working outside again, which I've been doing for quite a number of years. So I do like the outside, even in the winter, but nevertheless, I need to find better ways of coping and, a new direction. So it's not falling back on old paths and old directions. So what I would like to do as a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. Now, from the Gatehouse, we talk about some steps of grief and loss. And would you like to read that?
The seven steps.
Yeah.
Are we just going to do the topics around it, not necessarily go into?
Yeah, we're not going to go full and tail into it, but we're going to give you an idea. and from our perspective and how we deal with it normally.
So we're not going to read through what is
No.
It's going to go
just the seven steps, and maybe you.
So
maybe you could relate. Obviously, I'm coming from a survivor of childhood sexual abuse inside of you, but maybe you can relate to it even with some of these things we're pointing out as well. It doesn't necessarily have to be the trauma that I'm talking about, but there could be other traumas as well where you're feeling that way already, and nobody understands. Well, we understand. I mean,
so would you like me to read the two paragraphs and then just the short bullet points?
Yeah, just short bullet points. I don't want to get too long-winded about this.
Not the paragraphs, just here, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the seven stages of grief. So the first stage is shock and denial. For instance, it can happen to me.
Yeah, exactly. Like I've been saying all along, and look, we're at it a year later. We're still in shock and denial.
Yeah. Step two is fear, panic, and shame. What on earth do I do now? Number three, rage and helplessness. So how dare someone do this to me, for example.
Who's in charge here? Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Four, guilt and ambivalence.
Where does that come in?
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so number five, focused anger and letting go, finding the good out of the bad. So As I phrase that, I always see the positive out of a negative situation. Number six is exploration and new identity, or going from the victim mentality to survivor, or what I prefer to call thriver or victor in my scenario.
Or warrior.
Mm. And then seven, acceptance. So once we get to acceptance, and sometimes you can fall back, right? So you might get to acceptance and then you might fall back to, I don't know, focused anger and letting go, or you might go back to guilt and ambivalence, because the journey isn't linear. It can change, right? So you may have gone through the process all the way through and then something happens and it puts you back in a different level of grief. So depending on where you're at, and then we go through that process again, or wherever you pick up of. So can you relate to any of that?
Oh, absolutely. And grief really is just
love turned inside out.
Love turned inside out, if you want to call that, or it's just a ball of energy that's inside your body that just needs to be released. Whether it be crying or running 20 miles or whatever.
It can also be laughter, too.
Right? It could be a lot of different things on how you release that grief. It could be thinking you're doing stand-up at Yuck Yucks. I'm not trying to do a plug here, but if you're a comedian.
Explain what Yuck Yucks are.
It's a comedy.
I know it is, but they don't.
Well, actually, Yuck Yucks is in the West. Canada, US, so it's all over the place.
Yeah, but it's not in the UK, as far as I know.
I'm not too sure.
So you need to explain, because our viewers are also in the UK.
Yeah, we have lots of funnies here in the West, both in America and in Canada. I'm thinking about Montreal just for laughs, which is always hilarious. Canadian perspective humor. We have lots of humor. So grief can be released in many, many different ways. I guess finding a spot that's really, really good and comfortable for you, where you need to.
So I just want to read what the Gatehouse is writing here. So I believe it's Maria. It might be Paula. I'm not sure. The first one was love, and then put so true. Many often think it's a progressive journey and feel like failures when they go from one step and then backwards to another step. Healing is not linear. Confirming what I said earlier.
That's kind of what we're saying anyway. Yeah. So, I remember when I started this healing journey, one of my facilitators used to always, actually both my facilitators at the time used to tell me that when you see a change in yourself, they always used to always make reference to, well, when you start seeing a change, you're going to take like a 1 degree turn to the right or 1 degree turn to the left, but you're going to you're going to see something, you're going to feel something. And that's kind of how it happened for me. And I love that analogy, how they always went to that and saying, yeah, you're just going to shift one way. And you're not even, actually, it's just going to come out of nowhere. And you're not even going to realize it until either somebody points it out, somebody that knows you and that's going through your experience, or you discover it on your own and you have an aha moment with yourself and realize, oh my God, I've shifted. I don't think in that way. I'm not thinking like I'm so angry or I'm not so angry now, either be towards myself or whatever the situation may be where you may be angry at something. As an example.
Can I just plug someone else's comment to me recently? So what's Davina's last name? Lytle? Davina?
Little.
So a lady who we know who's recently written a book.
About
she's
PTSD.
Called Davina Lytle?
No, you're not pronouncing it correctly.
How am I saying
Little.
It? Little.
I believe it's Little.
I don't think it is, but anyway, Lytle.
Yeah.
So Davina, she's written a book on PTSD. One of the comments she made to me recently, if she doesn't mind me saying this, I'm sure she doesn't, is, you know what? She was in bed one morning and her partner or husband was just about to go off to work. And she realized she was in a good spot and she turned around and she said, you know what? I actually am happy with my life now. And I turned around and said, isn't it lovely when you realize that you're in space or something to that effect? And I just thought it's knowing how I felt when I got to that place of, for me, I wanted peace, I wanted harmony, and I wanted respect. And I set a boundary for myself when I moved away from a very abusive, toxic situation, that I was going to get all free. And as soon as that changes, I would reset with setting boundaries. And when I moved to this area, I had all three things straight away. And it's just so beautiful when you can feel that you're in that space and you're aware of it. The awareness is huge because when you're aware of it, and again, if you're aware of that you want to make changes in your life, the awareness is half the battle. If you're aware of it, you can change it. If you're not aware of it, how can you change it if you don't even know?
And on that point, what Nicola's pointing out, if I may suggest, if you're trying to track those feelings, there's a couple of ways you can do that. And one of them is journaling, which we always recommend you do. I mean, unless you've got a really, really good memory and you can remember all those moments where you were put in that position to think like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I know that when I was going through my experience, I didn't do a whole lot of journaling, but I did journal some stuff. And one of the things I had to do when I was talking about anger, which is really kind of part of my grief and my loss here, because I carried a whole lot of anger and I needed to keep track of that. And so I would write out little things that I knew that made me angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally for the first 2 months or 3 months, no kidding, folks, I did this. I have to go back and read this almost every day or every second day to remind myself, okay, well, Stu, if I get into that mindset where I'm going to act like that, or I get angry, then I'm going to say to myself, I'm going to find, I'm going to find another grounding way or a way to walk away from it so that I don't react in a bad way, whether it be towards somebody else or towards myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to practice that and practice that and practice that. And even after what I've just stated, I still have to practice it even to this day sometimes. Not that I go back and look at my notes and say, okay, this is why I do that. And sometimes I kind of wish that I had, because sometimes I'll get upset and realize and then I have to fall back and think about what I've done to do that. And the gatehouse is pointing out to me, which they just wrote here, setting boundaries helps heal your inner child, prevent yourself from, and you are worthy. Well, you're absolutely right. Actually, I was coming to that too, because your inner child can call upon you to react in certain ways. Well, in funny ways and like childish ways.
When that six-year-old turns up, or the
10-year-old shows up and has that little, look at me, I'm here now, and you have to pay attention to me. But this is where your grown-up is supposed to kick in and say, no, that's not supposed to happen. But that doesn't always work, though.
No, it doesn't.
Doesn't always work. So that's why, well, boundaries for one thing, but having some kind of a plan, like I talked about, like journaling, so that you know that when you are getting that way, you can fall back on that. So loss and grief can certainly stand you in many, many different ways. And, you know, the inner child, you know, I think a lot of people don't even consider that. Well, some people may not even call it the inner child. They may just call it the inner person or something, whatever. You may call it something different. But
it might just be a realization, right? Mm. So something takes you back to a difficult place in your life. We call that either a trigger, which my choice is I don't use that word. I use a realization word because for me, it uses both sides of the brain rather than one. When we use the word trigger, it can put us back into that fear, fight and flight mode. However, I want to assure you that when you do have triggers, or you might have night tremors, or you might have night dreams, or you know, you keep thinking back to a certain time in your life and you're playing it over and over in your head. That's what a trigger is. So essentially, when that happens, it's the brain letting you know that you're ready to, the brain is actually ready to deal with that. So some people might view that negatively. However, it is a positive thing because the brain is actually letting you know, hey, I'm ready to deal with this now. So can we go ahead kind of thing? But that's what it's kind of trying to say to you. So without trying to explain it too deeply. But
yeah, it's kind of, obviously it's going to affect you very differently, but when it's going to tell you, it could be in a nice way or it could be in a not so nice way. And usually when it's not in, when your inner child tells you in a not so nice way, you usually act in a, well, I can't speak for you, but I know I would act in an inappropriately towards myself. And sometimes towards others, right?
So essentially what's happening is just like losing a father, a mother, a child, you know, whoever you've lost in your life. I'm sure most of you can relate to losing somebody.
Something.
As a survivor, we're grieving the loss of our little girl, our little boy, whatever that is to you. So when we talk about grief in terms of trauma from childhood sexual abuse, we've lost that period of our life that we'll never get back.
Mm.
So for me, all my good childhood memories, for the most part, were prior to about 7, because I can't remember exactly how old I was when these things happened, because when trauma takes place as a child, because you're not supposed to have sex forced upon you as a child, that space that you go into in trauma can freeze the part of the brain that's, because it's not developed yet. It's not supposed to deal with sex at that age. So some of those memories get repressed and they may never surface. However, they may surface over time. Like, for instance, I realized only, was it 2 years ago, I think, that in actual fact, my very first form of abuse was actually through a little girl who was the same age as me prior to school. So, and I believe she got abused herself, because however would she have known me what to do? So that came up for me, which I never even remembered, only a couple of years ago. So those memories came back. I do hope and pray that the really deep memories regarding someone that was really close to me don't come back completely, because I don't want to remember that part of it. Some survivors, unfortunately, remember every single detail. I remember a lot of the details, but the really bad experience with someone that was very close to my family, I don't remember completely exactly what happened. That part of my brain shut that off. However, the paedophilia, I remember every single detail. Unfortunately, I'm laughing in the face of extremity here because that's the way I deal with it. Because it's not funny. However, that's black humor, I guess. And like the domestic violence of like 30 odd years, I remember every detail. It's bringing together that whole piece and for me, dealing with or facing the truth. Because for me, I had to face the truth in order to grow through my experience. And it's not easy. So, you know, when no different than if you lose a parent, you lose a good friend. It's not an easy process to get through. So losing your own childhood, if you can relate that in loss, if you haven't experienced childhood sexual abuse, the grief is similar, but on a much deeper level, because you've lost a big chunk of your life. So it's being able to put yourself back to that. So a lot of the work that we do at the Gatehouse, and we encourage when dealing with the inner child stuff, is that we also encourage you to parent that inner child. So when we say that, we encourage you to maybe go out to the park, go do whatever you might have enjoyed when you were a little girl, little boy, and you know, look after that little girl, little boy. So if that little girl, little boy wants to go off and go swimming, or wants to go read a book, or even if it's a childhood book, big deal. So what? There's nothing wrong in it. You know, you might want to go read Puss in Boots or The Caterpillar Story or whatever, you know. It's whatever speaks to you. So we always encourage people to do a lot of self-care. And when we say self-care, that's looking after that little girl or little boy that might surface for you. And you may not even look at it as a little girl or little boy. You just might be looking at it as you're taking care of yourself. That might be having a bath, or it might be doing a meditation, or doing some yoga, or going running, or doing some yard work, like looking after the fruit and veg.
Music,
yeah. That was one of the biggest things when we were going through our crap. Right?
Yeah, music, reading, whatever your self-care makes you happy to follow and recommend. And now that we're, you know, the time's a little bit harder, and it's a little bit more work to try to find those things to give yourself self-care.
Yeah.
And if you are in financial hardship, well, you're limited to what you can do as far as self-care. Then again, that's when you need to be innovative and try to find your own things that are low cost or no cost.
Yeah.
Again, I'm lucky. I have a big backyard. A lot of stuff I can do is very physical. It doesn't cost me money other than my time. So, that's one thing, you know, but music, for me, works really, really well. I cook dinner. That works well for me, too.
I'm grateful for that.
You know, anything to find a way to bring you back from, I guess basically fighting with that inner child is really what it comes down to. You know, I never really had a good relationship with my inner child. I was a very angry child. I was a very angry child when I was a child, and when I became an adult, I was still angry as a child. So that inner child, if I want to talk to that inner child, it's really peeved at me. Oh my gosh, if you only knew how peeved that inner child was. I mean, I've talked lots and lots to that inner child. It's a good thing I'm an adult now, because if I was listening to my inner child, I'd be in a lot of trouble.
What does he say to you then? Can you give an example?
Well, I used to be, I'd just go out and raise hell. It means whether it be getting loaded or whatever, just go out and do whatever the hell I wanted, right? But it was usually self-destructive is my point behind this, right? Not always, but it's on the edge, always on the edge of self-destruction to whatever capacity. But that was how I would, that was my inner child being a rebel, right? Or my adults. I'm figuring it out yet, but I guess we're kind of mad at each other. So this is what I say, folks. So you need to figure this out. And by journaling is another way of doing that. I mean, if you have a dream evening, for example, or a nightmare or a flashback, again, that's where journaling comes in handy to track this stuff, to figure out why you're so angry.
Can I ask you a question then? So when that little boy's angry at you, how do you parent him? What do you do?
I usually beat him up. You just don't see me in the corner out there. I'm just wailing on him. You have no idea.
Oh, really? So as a parent, you beat him up?
Well, you see, No, that really is.
That was
just
a joke,
it's just,
by
it's,
the
it's just a metaphor for saying, in my mind, this is what I'm doing to myself. I'm beating myself up, is really what I'm saying. So when I'm on the edge like that, that's what it is. And when I talk about a relationship with my inner child, well, that's what it is too. That's what it has been. Luckily for me, I would say at least 95% of the time, I guess it's a good average, I guess. I don't know in grown-up form whether that's good or bad, but I guess that's good. But 95% of the time, now I won't say 100% because I'm not perfect. But
I don't even like that word.
I don't even like it either. It's
no.
Not even a dessert. It should be, or it could be.
A dessert.
It sounds better.
Angel delight for me.
Sure. That'd be good as long as it's got strawberries and whipped cream on it. Oh yeah, sure. You can't have dairy, so.
You just reminded me of that. Like you just spoiled the punch.
Mm.
that's not mine.
But yes, folks, discovering new ways to take care of yourself when you are in times like this, when you are rediscovering your loss and your grief, such as your given right of freedom of being able to walk out your door. You know, all these things, your trauma you've been carrying, you've been dealing with for years on top of that, that's an awful lot to deal with. So finding ways to taking care of yourself these days is really, really hard. So I will say one thing right now. I really don't want to go on too much longer so I don't break my record here. But finding a way to cope or to deal with what you're thinking about. Just for example, depending where you live, I live in the country, but if you live in another country, reach out to some organization, through telephone or by computer. Obviously, you're limited nowadays how you get it, and hopefully you can get it. Reach out to somebody, to friends, be anybody who will listen, because you're not alone. And luckily for us nowadays, well, we have the internet. This capacity. So yes, you're stuck at home alone, but in a sense, you're not really, because instead of talking over the phone, you could actually go on a video conference call and you could actually see somebody, to their face. And to me, well, it's still not quite the same as being side by side. Obviously, it'll never replace that, but it's a heck of a lot better than just talking on the phone or waiting for a letter that could come in 3 weeks or a month.
That's the thing too. If you think back, I don't know, it was less than 15 years ago. This online video conferencing thing had only really just begun with like Skype and Messenger, etc., which was one of the first people that did it. However, if this had happened like 25 years ago, we wouldn't even have this capacity to do this. So I'm kind of grateful that we do have Messenger, we do have Skype, we do have these Zoom applications, etc., where we can actually connect and see each other face to face. So we could have been in a much worse situation where we weren't able to connect like this. And communication is key, right? So if we're communicating with people, we're surviving, we're getting this global community together to inspire each other and connect with each other. And you know what? At the end of the day, we were put on this world to help each other. So why don't we continue to do that? And you know what, we're not here to fix anyone. However, we can provide some tools so that you can help yourself. Because at the end of the day, you are the only one that can help you. Anything else to add to that, young man?
Well, like I said, folks, I'm not gonna go on here too much longer. But I will insist that if you are struggling out there, try to reach out in whatever capacity you can. Whether it be online or by a phone or a friend or something, but don't go it alone. You're not alone, because everybody out there, we're going through pretty much the same thing. Just we can't see one another, or we can't get together. That's the only thing now. We're being told what to do. It's horrible. And again, I'm being very. Oh gosh, I'm being so gentle in my language right here, right now. If you only knew I was such a cussing trucker. When I leave here, man, I'm gonna be screaming out that door. I have acres and acres, man. The coyotes will be running when I'm done. But folks, I'm serious. Take care of yourselves, but self-care. Like, really reach out if you have to. Like, there's, like, I mean, especially my friends on social media. I love watching this. Like, it's incredible to watch this. How everybody, you know, whether you're having a bad day, like, I'm really a Twitter person. That's where you'll find me. But the connections I have there are pretty incredible. And the network is really, really incredible. You know, I know places, people I talk to from around the world.
My inner child's come out.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
What's that?
My inner child's come out.
Oh, so...
When I went like that a minute ago, I felt like... What was it? Oh, I can't even remember. Like, Sunny and Sweet.
Oh,
I
yeah.
felt like Sunny and Sweet. Sorry. Sorry. Just going there.
Anyway, my example is you can reach out. There's lots of good places to go. There's other platforms that people may follow. I'm not really on Facebook, but that's where you are. I know there's lots and lots of places you can go there. They're also secure, too, so that you're not dealing with asses along the way. So that you can...
You nearly did it.
I nearly did it. So... Folks, but so you feel safe and secure. So you can go into these platforms, and you're not going to be bothered by, you know what I mean, the asses. And where you'll feel safe.
The donkeys. Bottom.
But reach out, and I always give an example of Twitter where I hang out. Well, there's lots of places there too. They have private chats, and you can go, and you just need to feel out and figure out where you feel safe, not just on Twitter, not on Facebook, but all the other social platforms as well, because your feeling safe is really, really important. If you're feeling vulnerable and you feel like you don't want to take any shit from anybody, you just want to hear some good stuff. Well, hopefully you hear some good stuff anyway that make you feel better. You know, block it or do whatever you have to do, but don't listen to it. Don't take it because you deserve better than that.
You are worthy.
You are worthy, more than worthy of that. So, folks, like I say, I think I'm going to leave it at here. I've been doing this live through Periscope, YouTube,
Facebook.
My primary drive here is I'm coming from Blog Talk Radio, and this is Personal Transformation. Today I have Nicola beside me. We've been sharing our experiences, not only from our experiences from the gatehouse. We were talking about loss and grief. Go back if you want to listen, and you may even have a laugh because we're not always serious. And we talk about some pretty good stuff, which may be helpful. And go back and go onto our website, thegatehouse.org, and we have a conference that's coming up next week, which is going to be going for the whole week. We have lots of great presenters that are going to be there. All this would not happen if it wasn't for our great staff at the Gatehouse, which I have to pay thank you to Maria and
Maria
Paula,
the executive director,
Paula
Cadero,
Stephanie,
Patrick Kindred Spirit,
Stephanie Alves, and our founder
Arthur Lockhart,
and
founded it in 1998. So thank you, Arthur, wholeheartedly.
And we can't forget Brad Hutchins as well. Brad Hutchinson as well. Suicide Intervention, as well as Paula Cordero as well. And also our board members and staff as well. We're coming up to our conference, so it's really important we all come together. There's really, really hard times. So like I say, folks, thank you for listening, whether it be by video or by Blog Talk. I'm back. We are in for another busy week next week, but nevertheless, I'm going to try to come on. I won't even say what time it's going to be because I really don't know, but I will be on here at some point next week doing something.
It might just be a different day.
It just might be a different
week. I don't know.
But anyway, being as they are, you'd think I'd have all this free time and I could do that, but no, it just doesn't work out there. When you're at home, you need to adjust for what's going on. So, and that's precisely what I'm doing. Folks, did you want to say anything else? Last plug before we go?
Yeah, I just want to really say, you know, if you're in that dark space, so similar to what Stuart was saying, if you get yourself in that dark space and you start to feel lonely and you feel like you want to do yourself in, you know what I'm saying here, please shout to somebody. Think about friends, family, your animals, something that you love, to bring yourself back to this present moment and help you pull that light through for yourself. Because you know what? You're important to this world. and there is love here. So please, please reach out, share, and spread that kindness, because you matter. So anyway, over to you.
Yeah, so thank you, everybody, for those who are joining us on the platform. Excuse me, I must type that I'm on. I'm not just on Blog Talk Radio, but I'm doing video now as well through YouTube, Periscope, Facebook, and that's a lot for me to figure out. And believe it or not, I really need to pay attention to what buttons I push here, because I could shut one thing off and turn something else on, or vice versa, and it just doesn't work. And what the heck is he saying? But folks, we're working it out. Thank you for your patience, and have a good night. Self-care.
Yes.
And please join the Gatehouse for the conference next week. And have a good night.
Yes. Please take care. Remember to take care of yourself. Good night.
Good night. Yeah. I'm not really too concerned about how many listeners we had, because they all come back.
People were viewing live.
Oh, I know, but
right, so I'm gonna log out of this.
I'm just gonna plug.